back before World War II, I got started as a kid, really. And I had about that many in books.
But you told me you didn't like English in high school.
I didn't. I didn't know.
Did the teacher ask you to write poems ever?
No.
It was just your idea.
It was my idea. Mm. Well, I had a book up, but when I come back from the war, I couldn't find it. I left it out there with some people.
Do you remember what kinds of things you were writing about?
About something like that.
Had you read much poetry?
Well, some.
Why do you think you chose poetry rather than stories?
It seems to be easier.
For me. Fewer words.
Yeah, that's right.
Were you trying to make them rhyme or have any certain number of lines?
No.
Did you know it?
Just freelance. Mm-hmm. I didn't pay attention.
But you told me that in English class you remember reading, I think you said Lady of the Lake.
Yeah.
A long poem.
Yeah. Right there.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you were influenced partly by what you read in the English class?
Well, it could have been. We had an English teacher, Miss Shapper, and nobody bothered Miss Shapper. She was strict, but she was good. Boy, she could teach you. But I kind of rebelled.
Did you ever show her any of your writing?
No, I showed her a picture I drew one time. But she said that was really good. And one time I did an essay on a fish hatchery. Four raised china pheasants. And I did it quite a bit. And she said that was real good, but I don't know what she meant.
But at least she wanted to encourage you.
Yeah.
So you couldn't find any of the poems you wrote when you were a teenager. Was it after you retired that you started writing again?
Yeah, probably. I retired about 62. That's about the time. I used to go up to the park and sit there and write.
Did you go up with the intention of writing a poem?
Yeah.
So, did you take a notebook with you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Pencil?
Yeah. I wrote everything longhand. Now I can't write at all.
Well, as you were in the park, were you looking up at things and then back at your writing or trying to connect closely with what you were seeing?
Well, I'll tell you. That used to be Presbyterian Flat. That's what they called it. And my first trip up there with my folks, I was 6 years old.
How far from Union?
About 8 miles, I think, something like that.
Couldn't walk up there, did
you? No. And I went up there with my folks, and there was an old man here named Roy Klein, and he'd been here a long time, and he told me a story about that Presbyterian Flat. That's where the Presbyterians held their camp meeting. And a couple of young bucks, there was a big bluff on one side. And they dressed up a dummy like a woman. They got up on that bluff, and when the preacher was laying it on them, they threw her off and screamed. That broke up the camp meeting. Boy, I'll tell you. I don't know what happened to the two guys that did it. I thought that was pretty funny.
He probably ran the other way.
And, anyway, well, I bet I go up there about every week or two, even yet, sit around.
Well, if you started in 1962, that was about 40 years ago. Mm. Can you remember anything about the first subjects you were writing?
No, I was 62.
Oh, you were 62.
Yeah.
Okay, that was in 1980s?
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the subjects you were writing about?
Probably kid stuff mostly.
Well, after you retired?
Well, no, this is the kind of stuff I really have. But when my wife died about 7 years ago, 7 and a half, I lost all desire in life.
You haven't done it since,
no. I started to write one last night, I threw it down a bit.
Was she reading what you wrote?
Oh, yeah.
Was she encouraging you?
My wife was real odd. She didn't encourage me much on anything. I built that cabinet there for her. She never said a word. She said, well, that's very nice. Built all these tables.
That wasn't a few words of praise.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Well, she was a good woman, but she was true on the praise.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm trying to understand more about what was causing you to think that writing poems again was something that you really wanted to do, at least for a while?
Well, I got a kick out of it. I really did. I enjoyed it.
Was it the writing as much as what resulted later that you had a kick out of?
What resulted later?
Oh, yeah. Well, what about the writing process itself? Did you feel good when you were doing that?
Yeah. I just blew up and out and wrote those or something. Blew up more angry. Yeah, it made me feel pretty good. Yeah.
After you finished the poem, did you pretty much leave it as is, or did you go back and make changes?
I don't think I ever changed much.
The first time was the best.
Yeah.
I think okay.
It was, yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if they were. You shared them with other people.
Well, I gave them. I didn't read them.
Some
of my relatives read them.
And who did you say put this book together for you?
My niece. My niece.
How did she get involved?
Well, she was up here visiting. She's a real smart, real bright girl. You know, she's about 40 years old. And she read something. I had land there, and she said, I'll take those down and put them in a book. And she did.
Because she thought they were worth saving, that apparently.
Yeah, I guess
Would you talk a little about each, several of them, if I remind you of the titles?
Yeah.
Prophecy and a Simple Warning. That ends, nature has done all she can do, she has no more to give.
That would be true someday.
Yeah. Can you say anything more about what may have been going through your mind before you wrote this?
Well, I've always been a guy that wanted to be out in the woods. I'd go in the woods every chance I got. Maybe for a week or so. I kind of thought about they were destroying our timber. That's what inspired me right there.
Did it have anything to do with your having worked in a sawmill when you were younger?
No. I worked at the paper mill about 2 months and got enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
When you say they were cutting, did you go out and watch the trees falling, or how did you have vivid impressions of all the cutting of the trees?
You go up where the timber's been beautiful, and you see nothing but stumps.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clear cuts?
Clear cuts. Okay.
Was clear cutting the most common procedure for logging at that time?
Oh, yeah. That's what happened to the fish hatchery. See, they clear cut all of the watershed and warmed the water up and let the mud go in. Mm-hmm. They had to abandon the hatchery. But the fish couldn't stand.
Sure.
Sure.
It doesn't seem as though it's very difficult to figure that out.
Yeah. I know.
Where do you think most of the wood that they cut around here was going?
I don't know. Is it chipped out on a train? I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to load it up there.
Okay. So there's one called Golden Years with two question marks after the title. I know what that means, what the question mark means. You're raising questions about whether the years are also so golden after all.
Yeah.
Old age can be very lonesome, even with folks around. Can you say more about that?
I think I was in a sour mood today. I was feeling kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized I was getting older, I think. Most of the things about that.
At that time you weren't on oxygen?
Oh no, it's only been about a year.
Yeah. What made you feel old at that time?
Well, a lot of things I couldn't do anymore.
Like what?
Like yard work.
Yeah.
Or riding a horse.
Yeah.
Just things that I had to quit.
Oh, did you say to yourself, I'm an old man now?
I did, yeah.
You were only in your 70s then, weren't you? Were you having lung difficulty then because of the sawdust you had absorbed all those years?
Well, I'll tell you where my lung problem come from is cigarettes.
Oh!
51 years of smoking cigarettes. And that'll kill most people.
That sure will.
That means I'm tough.
Or lucky.
Or not smart.
Yeah.
No, when I see these young guys riding up now, I don't say anything, but I think of them. If they knew what they were headed to. And, well, that's just part of it, and part of it was just sawmill. Sometimes they made so much dust in the log yard I couldn't see that house.
And that sawmill was just a few feet from, or a few yards from here, wasn't it?
Oh, my, just across the ditch where it decked the log,
yeah.
And I couldn't see that house.
So you did breathe a lot of stuff.
I had to go up someplace to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My wife worked all the time. She worked the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Bothered her, but not quick. Like her own.
Did you have a diagnosis of your lung problems a number of years before you quit smoking?
Yeah.
What caused you to stop?
Doctor.
What did he say?
He said, you better quit smoking or get awful short-winded. And I tried several times, you know, and I couldn't just give up. And I come home and I got to think about it. I told my wife, I said, I've got to quit this smoking. So the next day I smoked a cigarette in the morning. And I went out to see the doctor and I tore the package into it, get to it. And I gave it easily to him a lighter. And I said, I have quit. You don't believe me. I was starting to believe. I never wanted to listen. I went from 4 packs a day to nothing. And it didn't bother me.
I think we could call that willpower.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised at that, about that from what I know about you. But this poem is really more about feeling lonely than it is about feeling sick. Have you felt lonely often?
Ever since my wife died, it's been awful.
Even though she didn't have very many words of praise. You say that you don't really understand why young people can't look at an older person and understand anything about what's going on in that person's mind.
Don't seem to. They don't even talk. Well, some of them, but not all of them. Some of them are real good. They talk to me and open the door for me and let me. Others just slam the door in my face and walk off.
Does it give you the feeling that many young people have the impression that old people are useless, and so
that's the idea I get.
Why even think about them in any kind of sympathetic way?
Yeah, that's right. That's the idea I have, yeah.
My choice is about not going to church anymore.
Yeah. Well, church was having a big fight, my church.
Which church had that been?
Methodist. Brick church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they got a minister that wasn't helping any, and they were just having a, so I decided, I told my wife, I'd come home one day and I took the suit off and I said, that's it, I'm not going back.
Was this a fight that had something to do with religious beliefs or some disagreement about?
It was kind of disagreement on everything. It shows up sides.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty vicious.
What did one side not like?
Well, that's hard to say. Neither side liked anything, I thought.
You think they just disliked each other?
Yeah. And they had a minister they didn't like. And I guess he's not a minister anymore, because he was there. And he was always bickering. And one person wanted to do this, and the other would say, no, we won't do that.
Mm-hmm. Beyond that, did your deciding not to go to church have anything to do with what you'd come to believe about God?
I don't think so. I think it was just pure self-disgust. It was just disgust. People didn't suit me.
Otherwise, did you agree with what
the
Methodist Church said about God and about Jesus and all that?
I believe that.
You do?
Yeah. I do now, but there for a while I give up.
Do you have any idea why you believe those things?
Well, I've been going to church since I was about 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out in the Presbyterian church.
Mm-hmm.
And was going to Sunday school. And then they tore that down and they built the Methodist Church in 1905. And they tore the old Presbyterian down about 1920 something. We all had to go to bed.
What did your mother talk to you about what you should believe?
Yeah. She was a Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm.
she's awful busy. She had five little kids running around. One bedroom house for five little kids.
I just wondered whether what she said about God and Jesus might have been the main influence on what you believe.
I think she did. Now, my grandfather, my father's father, was a circuit riding preacher down in Atlanta Valley. He was an old man when I met him.
So he didn't influence you?
No, he just said, we just had such an only little brat. No, he was a pretty good old guy.
Now, this one called Of Black and White. I remember you telling me last time that this is based on a black man you knew.
Yeah.
Tell me a little more about him.
Well, I was in the Navy, and I went out to Seattle out of the park, or the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people out there, and there was an old black man who was in the Navy. Kept walking by. It was just the days before the Black Freedom, you know.
Yeah.
He walked by a bench, by a school around the park. And he walked by about three times. Pretty soon he took off his hat and said, Mister, do you care if I sit on that bench with you? I said, yep, yourself. And that's what they started talking to.
Was he the first black person, perhaps, that you had talked to seriously?
Well, yes, I mean, I've spoken to him, talked to black people, but I didn't carry on much conversation.
Black people in union?
We had Willie Torrance. He lived out at the junction. And I was working up here in the grocery store. All winter long, that old man would walk uptown, buy some bacon or something, stand there, warm up with it, walk all the way back. And then he had a boy in the Grand Bulls.
Yep. Well-known football player.
Oh, yes, he was. He was nice kid, too.
That's what everybody says. He was admired by many.
Yeah. He was a nice guy. That's about the only other colored man I knew, except just casual.
Well, when he said, that hurting weighs upon my soul like the world's upon my back, the flowers are different colors. It sounds as though the conversation you had was about fairly serious things. I mean, certainly about his feelings about the way he was treated just because his skin was black. And maybe for you that was the most serious conversation you'd ever had on that subject?
I've been in the Navy. We had black guys in the Navy, but they were always cooks. Other than that, I haven't known any black people yet. Well, let's see, one left for a little while someplace using her, I didn't know. You know, it amazes me how bitter people can be about somebody they don't know anything about. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. Now, I've got a friend out here in North Union, and he hates niggers. He's never lived any place but Union.
Does it sometimes seem to you that they feel that way because they're really afraid?
I don't know. I don't know the reason. I can't figure the reason.
It's a feeling that's not based on any experience,
no.
Apparently.
No. We had someone. We had a black woman who lived in our parsonage for a while. Just a short time. She used to come to church. We had a man come to church and said the first time he ever saw a nigger in that church, he'd never come back. So there's the difference.
Well, I guess you say to him, well, bye.
Yeah.
There's a place where you would like it better.
He's going to like him anyway.
And you told me a little about last time about D.P. Jones, who was a Civil War veteran and about as lonely an old cuss as you probably could ever find anywhere. But, I get the feeling maybe you kind of liked him.
I did. He lived in an old shanty house up there, kind of like a bar, I think.
Yep.
And I always walked by there going to come to school. And he made cider, and Dad sent me down there a couple of times to buy a jug of cider. And I talked to him. Well, personal man. Or I'll tell you that. But he talked to me. And so one day, he gave me an apple. He had an apple. He gave me an apple. And that's right, the first thing. And I was the only one in the funeral cried. So that's really true.
The only one who what?
Who cried.
Oh, at his funeral, yeah.
He buried him up there in the Harvard Street. I don't mean to make him. I don't think he's going to put a marker on him.
Can you say now what mainly you admired about him?
Well, he was old. He lived alone. Didn't have any friends. One other old man that couldn't hardly hear, they'd get together and make cider, but that's the only guy that ever. And the kids picked on him. He had an old horse, and he put his produce, his apples and stuff, and eggs, in a wagon and go up to North Park and peddle it. And the kids just made me miserable. And one time when I was going home from school, I walked by a little shed he had. And he shot a shotgun right across my face. Some kids across the street who had passed.
He wasn't aiming at you.
No. Well, I let him know. God, that's good.
What the hell are you doing?
Right, caught in the crossfire.
Well, I sure was. Yeah, sure was. But I like the old guy. He was a guy.
Do you think his name was really Deefy?
No.
Was that because he was deaf?
Yeah, called him that's what they called him.
What do you think his name actually was?
I have no idea.
You never told him?
No.
You never asked?
No, I didn't ask. I think the place we lived at, Nodine's open.
Fred Nodine is an old name around Union.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I should say he was.
Yes.
He got a tombstone out there that wide, out in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite a character.
Mm-hmm. Dust on Mama's Bible. She taught us many things, like gentleness and love the Lord. I think that's one of the things I was thinking of, that maybe she had put into your brain the idea that you had some kind of responsibility to believe in God.
Dad never talked about it. Mm-hmm. He was a preacher's son, but he never... Mm-hmm. He just never had anything to do with church. Probably did.
Well, you had two examples there. You could make your choice.
Yeah, she's been gone 70 years. That's Halloween. That's funny.
And I suspect you mean, when you say there's been dust on my Mama's Bible ever since she passed away, that it never occurs to you to read the Bible.
Never did.
Never did.
Not when I lived at home. It does now. I'm a little bit late, maybe.
I think from here on in, you're okay. I don't think you need a lot of help. My wilderness home suggests that you feel a pretty close relationship with chipmunks and robins and crows and rattlesnakes and so on.
Yeah, I do. My dad was a pet lover.
I noticed dogs in those photos with him all the time.
We had porcupines, and badger, and a coyote, and a hoot owl. Oh, I can't remember all the pets we had.
Those don't sound like pets.
Well, they're wild things, but they make pets.
Yeah. Oh, what did they do? Just come sit near you, or let you feed them?
Well, that little coyote, we called her Coney. Dad found her. Dad, Pasty Horn, shot her mother. Shot her at her mother. She had her in her mouth. She dropped her and run. Mm-hmm. Pasty put her in his pocket and brought her down to bed. She just not that big. Mother got busy and had a little doll bottle. A little table.
Mm-hmm.
And she fed that thing. Mm-hmm.
Who's Pasty?
Oh, Pasty Horn, the guy that used to live here. I don't know. He don't live here. He's been gone for years.
Somebody like D.B.?
No. Yeah, a little bit.
How long did the coyote stay with the family?
Well, that was a pretty sad story, you know. We had her about 2 years, I guess. I got a picture of her. And had a hired man named Bill Miles, and he wanted to breed her to his dog to her. So Dad let her take her home. He took her out of an old greasy machine shop, tied her up real short, and shut all of her away from all the light. And she got crazy. And his story was, I don't know. She bit him and he hit her, but they said to kill him. Now, I don't know. I always never trusted that anyway. She really, she was the best pet we had. You know, my brother, one of these pictures of right over there, that bull crate.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coyote and me and my older brother. My brother was just a little baby. And mother would put him on a blanket out in the yard. And this coyote would back up to her. And he'd get a hold of the tail and she'd drag him till he'd turn. And she'd run around the house and do it again. She'd do that all afternoon.
She enjoyed it.
Yeah. She was like, but she shut her in the house. She was there.
Yeah.
She shut the door and she was gone.
Well, she's a wild animal.
Yeah, right.
She stayed outside in the yard all
yeah.
the time?
Yeah.
But never ran away?
No, no. No, just kids with her playmates.
But the pet coyote could have run away?
Oh, yeah. Anytime she wanted to.
Yeah.
And we, like, coyotes would howl out there right by our house. A lot of coyotes there. And she'd sit and howl with them, but she never drew her.
Did you feed her dog food?
Scraps in it.
Scraps
in it. What got her in trouble? She got to kill a chicken. You know, that's a coyote.
Oh, yeah.
Coyote habit.
Sure.
And you couldn't break her, so Dad put her on a clothesline and put a little bowl there to put her food in. Well, she wouldn't touch it. She lay there asleep. A couple old chickens would get their head down that bowl and she'd get a bowl. So mother said she's got to go. And that was another problem. She killed all the good turkey chickens.
It sounds to me from this poem and some of the others that you've always felt pretty close to nature.
Always.
And do you think that living in Union had a lot to do with that?
Probably. Go up and pick me out of the woods.
You are very close to nature in Union.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to go over on the Minor River, stay a week, horseback. Stay about a week, come home, go on back.
Have you ever been a hunter?
Yeah, I was not a good hunter, but I was a hunter.
It sounds to me as though your temperament would say no to that.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't hunt to kill me deer.
Not a choice.
Don't have a choice.
Okay.
What an experiment station, sir. That's an old building.
Yeah.
The first one I knew.
We're at the agricultural experiment station.
Yeah. The first one I knew that lived here was Bob Whittingham, Robert Whittingham. And he was old Governor Whittingham's son. And he run this place for a while. And then Dick Richards came and was here for a while. And then they kind of abandoned it. There's not too much experiment anymore. No cattle, or a few cattle, and no horses raising. So it's changed a lot. And that's about all I can tell you.
You knew this place as a child, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was your understanding in those early days of what they were doing here?
Well, I don't know. They had a lot of cattle and sheep and horses, big Percheron horses. And I guess I just thought they were just a farm. I don't know. But that's really what it was.
Didn't they call it an experimental station?
That was the original. Not that anymore. It's.
Yeah. But what did you think as a kid that meant?
I don't even remember. I was about 4 years old. But I know that, I don't know what they do here now. They had sheep. And
One of the things they're doing here is studies of grassland for range cattle.
Yeah, yeah.
Up at the Hall, what used to be the Hall Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I knew about, you know, this belongs to the college now.
Oregon State University.
Yeah, Oregon State University. It used to be just, I guess it always belonged to them, but they had a different name.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you also did some carpentry work, some building work in this building?
Oh, yeah.
No, I think you said a barn or two.
Yeah, they're down on the other end.
Let's go down a short turn.
Hi. I don't really.
Hi. How are you doing?
Well,
yeah.
It was built for a brewery.
Right there. That one?
No, this one.
This one.
Bus garage.
For a brewery of cider or ale or?
Male or beer,
beer,
I think.
Yeah.
Ale. I've got a picture someplace in the book. And there's a sign up there and it says, I can just make out B-U-E-R or something.
Mm-hmm. It says Levi Strauss. Well, that's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. It's got a dozen signs that day, though.
Yeah.
It's an old, old building.
Do you remember any of the names connected with it?
Well, there was a garage in there one time. A guy named Brownie, whatever that means, run it.
How about the brewery?
I don't know who that had that. I've never had a history on that.
Would that have been 19th century, do you think?
Oh, no, it'd been less than 18th century. I think because, I came here in 1920, and it was a garage then, and there's a big old house there where the manager lives. And the Mrs. McClellan wrote it for a while as a boarding house, and I don't really know too much about it.
Well, I think you do mean 19th century.
Yeah.
The late 1800s.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
That's about it.
And it's now used as a bus garage.
Yeah. Yeah. School bus.
Looks like just plain rocks piled up as a foundation.
You'd be surprised how many of these old houses are rock foundations. Mm-hmm. They didn't have cement, I guess.
No mortar.
No mortar.
Well, they must have had some mortar.
Well, they had to have. They're just as solid as the day they built. I wish I could read all those signs, but they're just one on top of the
other. Oh, yeah.
A guy named Dave Kent lived here years ago, and he was a sign painter. He painted all these signs for people. I probably painted that one. I don't know.
I'll get a picture of it.
On the positive things, the fun things in your life, or do you think sometimes about the painful moments and the sad days?
Some of them, but not too often. Mostly good days.
Can you explain why that might be? Do you think is it something about you, or do you think it's something about how the human brain works?
I don't know. I think about things like my mother's death, because that's been 70 years ago, but I think of her once in a while,
mm-hmm.
and something like that, and some people that I was my special friends that died,
right.
and I think about them, but I don't get morbid about it.
Right. And when you think about these people from the past, you're mainly thinking about the good times you had and the days that they were smiling and joking and having fun?
You bet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think about.
Mm-hmm.
If it was Two Horse Beer, that would be a good name.
Might have been. Might have been.
Yeah. This white building across the way here was a church, wasn't it?
That was a Methodist church. And then they built a new church and sold it to the Catholics. And now the Catholics have built a new church and a school. Built in 1870.
Is it being used for anything now?
I don't know. I don't think the school uses it.
How do you know it was built in 1870?
Somebody told me.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Is that where you went to services?
No.
Only at the new one?
Oh, today it was the new one where I was going to have a new church here.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's an old timer. Too bad they don't get a good coat of paint on it and the roof.
The building certainly deserves it.
Yeah, it sure does. Got a lot of memories in there.
Do you? In the museum?
Yeah, I built some of the cabinets and stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Day, or Mrs. I can't remember her name now. Carolyn.
Is she the woman who was the overseer of the museum?
Well, she's doing the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what the hell is her name? I've known her since she was born.
Is she still here?
Yeah, she lives in Grand.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Davis. I caught typhoid fever, and I was a hot lake for 4 months on my back, just couldn't even turn over.
That was a crucial thing, I think.
So when I started back to school, they let me take 2 classes of manual training to make up for it.
Yeah.
For some of the credits I got. They give me a diploma. I don't know what's legal, but they give it to me.
You kept the chair warm for long enough.
Yeah. I was kind of an obnoxious kid, I guess you'd say. That's the old house right there.
This one?
On the right, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know whether that's true or not.
Somebody living in it now?
Yeah, they always lived in it. I don't know who. But the thing about it is, I'm not too sure about that being the poor farm. I don't know.
No, I'm not going to take a chance and take a picture of it then.
No.
Blue ribbon exteriors. Oh, somebody's trying to make it pretty nice now.
Oh, yeah. They painted it and put shutters on it. An old man and his mother lived there for a long time. They both gone now. Herbert, anyway.
So this was an extension of the mill at that time?
No.
No?
Just a... Well, it was a farmhouse ever since I know it. But mm-hmm. Somebody told me it was a poor farm at one time when this was a county seat.
Yeah, that might be that door.
But she didn't make me, couldn't make that stick.
I think that's, you made it.
That's a brand new one.
Yeah. That's all right. If you can fill it in a little bit, that'll be okay.
Yeah. 60-something. It burned down a while back. Well, when I was just a kid.
So there's nothing to see there?
No, well, just to make... parking lot. Christian church right back there someplace. They burned it down or fell out or something. And there's that old city hall. I don't know how old that is.
1891?
1891, yeah.
Well, can you tell us about the city hall?
Well, right now they're having a hell of a row.
Well, in the past. I don't mean now.
You don't talk about the total, huh? No, not too much. Well, I'll tell you one story. My dad, we had an old mill pond up here, and all the kids swam naked. In those days, it was legal. Thought about. Well, they warned us. Well, one day I was in there swimming, and I had on shorts. My dad told me, "Don't you go in there naked." And something another kid wanted to borrow my shorts. So I took them off and swam across, come right up under the old white mare that the marshal sitting on. And he said, "Get up and get your clothes on." He took 14 of us, went right up and right down this main street and right up there in City Hall, in single file. Scared the hell out of us. And they got the recorder and the mayor and all the city officials there, and we really had to do, but they turned us loose, but we didn't swim naked anymore. But that old mill pond's all gone now, and they've leveled it.
Well, do you remember the city hall having a jail?
Oh, yeah, it's right back in that door, right at the end of that little hallway.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old city jail. I don't think they use it anymore, but that's where it was.
Well, did you hear any stories of prisoners or anything else that was going on in the building?
Yeah, I knew some of them.
But they were in jail.
Yeah, well, they were. I knew Charlie Jenkins, he was an outlaw. Yeah. Oh, quite a few different drunks, one thing or another.
Uh-huh.
Put them in overnight tournaments. Uh-huh. You know. But anything real serious, I had to go to LeGrand, I think, uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, at one time, would you say that there was a significant amount of crime in the Union?
I don't think so very much. A lot of petty crime. Stealing water mills and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, well, they did break into this. When this was the bank, they broke into it and tried to dig a hole into the vault, but they give up. The Indians would come and caught them, I guess, and it took off. That was in the 50s, I think.
You mean dig a hole in order to get into the vault?
Yeah.
Like a tunnel?
No, just a place where he crawl in and gets a, just like a hole about that big.
Underneath it? You mean?
Right in the vault. Yeah. It's a, you're right in the side of the vault.
Well, you don't dig a hole, maybe you'd use an explosive.
They was blasting, but they run into a lot of steel in the wall.
Uh-huh.
I think that's one thing. But they didn't get any loot or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they ever caught them or not.
Mm-hmm.
That old store there, that was Levy's. Levy's hardware, not hardware, general store. A bunch of Jews. Nice people. Mick and Leon and Stella and Edna and had a lot of younger ones. But they had a good general store there for years.
You mean clothing and tools?
Clothing and groceries.
Electrical and stuff?
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that when you worked in?
No, I worked in one way up the street there. Mm-hmm. That other brick building. Mm-hmm. I worked in three of them, really. But, yeah, that was Levy's general store. Mick Levy was the mayor here, and his dad was on the council for a while. He was Adolf Levy.
What do you think were the attitudes that most people had toward Jews?
Well, it didn't seem to bother them. They did pretty good trade, you know. I can still see old Leon standing out there, little black hat, black clothes, with hands behind him, staring down the street. He'd stand there about half a day at a time, just looking down the street. I guess he was part owner of it, I don't know. But his dad built the building. That was Adolf Levy. I got a picture of him someplace at home. You probably do.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Have you got that book on Union 188?
Yes.
It's
in there.
It's in there.
Okay.
Shows the council and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When do you think the Levys left?
Well, they went broke. And,
because of competition from LeGrand?
Well, I guess. I don't really know what probably it was, but they were odd, peculiar people. They were typical Jews. They never threw anything away. They'd try to sell you something 20 years old, tell you it was new, you know. But they were good people. They lived right down there in the old house. I worked that one over, too. Yeah, that's...
The building appears to be in good condition, though.
It is. It's in good shape. They just now put that rocks along the front.
What?
See the rocks on the front?
Yeah.
That's what they just put that there lately. But that... I don't know when that building, that old Masonic Hall was built. It probably tells you someplace. That's the post office now, and Masons are upstairs.
Looks like a fire department, too. Is it?
No. No, the fire department is... it's up to Crasher Creek, in a way. New building, Ralph Titus building.
Were you ever in the Masonic Hall?
Yeah, I've been in it a time or two. To some kind of doings or feed or something.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it has that tower on it?
I don't know.
Did that ever look different?
Yeah, it wasn't painted white once.
No, other than that, was it open at all?
No, it just like that. Near as I know.
Did it ever have a bell in it?
I don't think so. It might have had sometime, but I don't remember. Yeah, and this is the post office. If you pull up a little bit, I'll show you something. You see? See that little green board below that window?
Yeah.
There's a little notch in it?
Mm-hmm.
That was the mail shop slot. That's where you put your mail.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell in a box inside.
Mm-hmm.
And, they moved the post office.
What was it? A post office after it was a bank?
No, it was a bank first. Well, I don't know. They was both here when I came.
Mm-hmm. You mean both in the same building?
Yeah.
The bank was the door on the left?
Yeah. Well, they're separate buildings. This is one.
Oh floor. Yes, I see.
And the Odd Fellows Hall was upstairs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is now. But and the door used to be on the corner. That was where, in the old picture, that's where the door was.
I see.
And it's been moved out of here. It's always been here since I can remember.
What do you know about the Odd Fellows?
Nothing. I know a couple of them have joined it, but I never did. I didn't really know much about them.
Do you know what they did?
No. Not really. Hold meetings, I guess.
Uh-huh. Do you think they were in competition with the Masons?
Oh, they definitely were. But the Masons, I think, won out. There is no Odd Fellows now, and there's still the Masonic Lodge.
Uh-huh. So they're still meeting in that
Lodge? Oh, yeah. Lodge. Yeah, and they have feeds up there once in a while, invite everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a going concern. It's not as good as it was, but it's a going concern. And you can see the fire escape there.
Yeah?
That ladder.
Do you have any guess about where the bricks for these buildings might have come from?
No. Some of them came out of LeGrand, I'm sure, at the brick place over there. And the Eaton House is imported. They're all imported. Let's go up the street.
I want to take some pictures first.
Okay.
What about the blocks of rock, granite, or whatever it is, on the Masonic Hall? Where that might have come from?
You mean up the...
Yes.
No, I don't know where that... Where it came. Probably the local. I don't know. See, it's all rock on the front.
Yeah. And there's a trim up there under the tower part.
Yeah.
In fact, I guess it goes all the way along.
It just goes under the tower.
It's a really nice building.
Oh, it's a good building.
Yeah.
There was more and more power tools come available. How did that change your work and your view of work?
Well, it made it a lot easier. I remember the first skill saw. The power saw.
Mm-hmm.
And
many of the other coin.
Hi. Let's see, I think I remember the first jointer. I've got one, an old one, but I think I remember it when it came in again. And before that was a whole lot of handwork, and that was hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Sawing all day or something, but we got by.
When the first skill saws and planers and joiners showed up, were you ready to take the plunge and put them to work, or were
well,
you?
No, I wasn't doing carpenter work then.
No?
I just remember being here, but as soon as I went to carpenter, then I got them all. But
when did you start carpentering?
Oh, boy. Let's see, I was about 47, 48, something like that.
Right?
Yeah.
And what were you doing prior to carpentering?
General service. I worked on farms, I worked in grocery stores, I worked in creamery, I worked every place.
Right.
Just general service until I finally found out something I wanted to do, and that was carpentry.
And were you an apprentice for a fellow, or?
I don't know.
No? You just had learned enough along the way to make it happen?
I think so. I went to work with a man, another man named Ed Richards, and he told me a few things, showed me a few things. But I did most of it self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
Made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, mistakes that cost you money or...
Well, I could correct most of them. Mistakes that somebody told me about.
Yeah?
You didn't do that right. Well, I knew it, but I made out pretty good. Really, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my wife worked in the post office there for 26 years. She made part of a living.
Right.
It was about 1870, I think that was built. And it was a shoe shop. And then people got to buying shoes that didn't need shoeing anymore. It kind of went out of business. But
and when you say a harness shop, you're talking about horses?
Yeah.
Making them?
Yeah, making a harness and selling a harness and saddles and anything concerned with horses.
Do you know the man who ran it?
Yeah, man, old man Holly.
Holly?
He was an old man when I was a little kid, yeah. He finally sold it. Do you remember Leo Anderson in LeGrand?
No.
He had a leather shop over
there.
Yeah. And he moved over there when his business went bad. And he went into making shoes. And it's quite an old building.
Do you remember being inside it?
I had a shop in there for a year or two.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
But I mean, when it was a harness shop?
In there, too. But it was gone when I moved in. Yeah, the old man, he always wore a black suit and a necktie, a white shirt, and a hat. And I always thought that was funny for a man in a horse business.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, old man Holly. They lived in the back, but they tore all that off. Yeah. My dad had a job, a pretty good job. He was probably making $125 a month or something like that, running the fish hatchery.
During the Depression years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he also had five little kids, and when we came here, I'll tell you about that later, but we lived in two rooms over that cafe up there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was five kids and seven of us, all living up there in two rooms, till they could find a house. There were no houses for rent. Finally found a house.
Why no houses for rent? Nothing available, or?
Nothing available.
Really?
Yeah. And he found a house out in North Union. We lived out there for about a year. And then I guess the hatchery built us a house up with the hatchery, or the state it did that, and it was seven of us living in it, and it was one little living room, one little bedroom, one little bathroom, one little kitchen, and a screened-in porch. And that was it.
Was that the same house where we had the pictures of the kids in the front with the coyote?
No.
That
was the hatchery.
Right,
the
okay.
Picture.
Right.
No, but they, my mother, they set the big wheels up here and inspect the places, you know, like they do. And so mother said, I'll feed them. And dad said, you can't do that in this little room. And, I'll do it. Well, there's about three of them, I think. And she moved all her furniture out away from the wall and made it just as crowded as she could.
Mm-hmm.
And she fed them all right. And so the next year they built her another house with four bedrooms. And that's the old meat market right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the.
And how about this one?
That's a pretty old store. I think they got the history of it inside there. I quit her saloon for a while. Of course, I wasn't here then. He was called.
What was the name?
Mike Woodard.
Mike Woodard?
Woodard.
Woodard.
I think. Near as I know.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I ever knew him was over on Eagle Creek when he was gold mining after he'd sold out here. I stayed all night with him. And he had wool blankets, and I like to itch me to death. Well, kept complaining, my dad says, shut up. So we weathered the night.
And he was complaining about what?
Wool on the blanket is scratching.
Oh,
you'd leave your shirt and your pants on, that's how you deal with that.
I guess so, but boy, I tell you, he panned me a little bit of gold there. I was a little boy, but pretty small.
Oh, on Catherine Creek, or?
No, on Eagle Creek.
Eagle Creek.
East Eagle. He owned the East Eagle Mine.
See.
It's still there.
Is it?
Yeah. But I don't know if they work it anymore or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything more you can say about this building?
Well, it was... Bert Shelton had a... Well, it started out as a drugstore. The first I remember. George Ferguson drugstore. And then he sold it, and he moved up in the other drugstore. And I know that Bert Shelton had a pool hall there for a while, and then I think the hardware is the next thing. I believe that's all there, but I don't remember. I hope I can remember things, but I can't. Well, everything. Now it's a liquor store. It's a beautiful place. They run a good store.
I don't remember the liquor store being there. Is that new?
Well, they just moved it over. It was here across the street, but she quit. sold it to these people, and they moved it over here in their store.
And how about this building up here on the corner of Beekman Street?
Oh, clear up there?
No, right here, this next one.
Oh, that was a bank one time. I see you. Somebody who owned it, I can't remember. He was an old man. But that little part was a bank, and then they built the other part on it and turned it into a garage for a long time.
Would that have been a bank at the same time that the other bank was working?
I don't remember. Well, it wasn't either. I don't even remember when this was working. What the heck? That old guy's name. Can't remember. But just a little. It's got a big vault in it. Mm-hmm. It's still in there. It's a flower shop or something now. I don't know. It was Poppy's pizza place for a long time.
You don't remember the name of the bank?
No. I can't remember even the name of the old man that owned it. Mm-hmm. I should, but I can't.
You think the building has been changed much?
Not too much.
At least on the outside, looks the same?
Yes. It's just about, I wouldn't say because I never was in it here lately. I worked in there for a while.
Where?
In the garage part.
The garage part?
Yeah. When it was a Chevrolet garage. And the old man that run the bank, or owned the bank, I guess, he sold that part to his son-in-law, G.I. Hess, and he built it on the garage, I think. And he run a garage in there. And this, what was the bank, was our office. It became part of the garage.
Now, is this the same Hess who had the sawmill?
Yeah. Yeah, he was my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
For years.
Yeah. Do you think that there were any more than two banks ever in Union?
I don't doubt it. There is now, there's two, but there was just that one that down there for years.
Yeah.
And then they moved up here, and then they built a new bank on the other end of town. Country Bank or something, I don't know what they call it.
I think it's Community.
Community, that's the word I need.
Mm-hmm. The building's over here on the left.
Well,
the larger one is what?
Well, it's the guy died that owned it, had a pool hall in it, and he died about here.
Well, what was it built for originally? It must more than a pool hall.
Oh, it was a grocery store downstairs and a KP Hall upstairs.
That's nice of Pythias.
Yeah, and of course they all died off, and the guy turned it into a pool hall, a little grocery store. In a pool hall, and then he died. But he'd been retired 18 days and he died. Just about 2 weeks ago. Nicest guy you ever knew.
Well, the upstairs part, after it was Knights of Pythias, was it still used as a meeting hall?
No, I think somebody told me his daughter lived upstairs. I don't know.
Lived up there?
Yeah, in that hall. It had a kitchen and everything.
It looks like a large building.
Oh, it was. It used to hold every Saturday night. They held a dance up in the old KP Hall.
Mm-hmm. That would have been about when, and then.
Oh, before World War II.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came back, just to kind of celebrate everything.
Do you know what Knights of Pythias stands for? Why they're named that, or what they did?
No, I don't. I just heard it always called KP Hall and.
For a lot of that means kitchen police.
I don't know what it means. Yeah, KP is kitchen police, all right. I doubt that's what they're thinking about.
Right.
Now, if you want to pull up here.
Well, I'm going to take some more pictures.
Okay.
This?
Yeah, this one.
What was upstairs?
Well, let's see those two front rooms.
Yeah.
That's where we lived for 2 weeks.
Oh, they are.
Five little kids and our parents, we all lived in there till we found the house. And it's a cafe now, and it's been everything. It's been a cafe, a saloon, and
What was the name of the saloon when you were there?
I don't remember. Well, we just called it Al Turner's Saloon.
Al Turner's.
Yeah.
Was it a noisy place?
I wasn't old enough to go in there. But
well, you could hear from upstairs, I'll bet.
I don't remember. I'll tell you. I can tell you a little story about it.
Good.
Oliver Turner was a bartender here, and he had a lot of wood out in the alley. And he sent his stepkid and me out to pile it up. The wood was very big, and we found a gallon of whiskey hid in the wood pile. And of course, not knowing too much, it was in prohibition times, and Alfred grabbed that whiskey and run right in the front door and put it right up on the bar. And Oliver grabbed it and put it under the bar, and he said, "You get out of here and get back to pile that wood." I can remember that. We were just little devils.
Well, who do you suspect stored it there?
Some bootlegger. We had all kinds of bootleggers.
Did you ever see a place where they were doing that?
Were they making?
Yeah.
No.
Did you see the remains anywhere?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them all over on Powder River.
Tell me what you saw.
Just a couple of old oil drums and a fire where they had a fire. I don't know how they made it, but it's supposed to be an old still. And that's a drugstore. That
still is.
The reason that's offset, the old street was that wide. And when they moved it back, he was going to build that building. He had a little wood store there. And he was going to build a building, and they asked him for it, and he wouldn't do it. So he put it out there where it is now. That's what's out of line with the rest of the street.
Mean at the time, the city didn't have any control over where buildings were put?
No, I don't suppose.
That's hard to believe.
Probably didn't. You know, they just had mud streets here.
Well, what period are you talking about that might have been built?
Probably, let's see, Luce Wright.